إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu created us and He sent us into this world and He sent us into this world with a deen which He called Deenul Haqq, the deen of truth, way of being which is based on truth. The purpose of Islam is to enable human beings to live a life which is pure, which is clean, which is virtuous, which is beneficial for themselves and for all of humanity and all the creatures of the world. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created some boundaries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything in the world, all kinds of food, all kinds of actions, halal, except a few. The basic principle is that everything is halal except that which is prohibited. So for something which is halal, you don't need to have a special label to say it is halal. If it is not prohibited, it is halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited a few things. Now these prohibitions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram, are things which are intrinsically harmful for the human being in this world, in this life. I'm not talking about the akhirah. The akhirah, obviously, if somebody deliberately consumes or acts in a way, consumes something which is haram or acts in a way which is haram, then obviously that person is liable for punishment when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa mashallah, except for those who Allah wants to forgive. But the rule is clear that if somebody deliberately does haram, then this person is, depending on what he does, he has committed kufr, maybe he exceeded Islam itself, maybe the person has committed a major sin, so he is punishable unless he makes tawbah and unless Allah forgives him. So I'm not talking about that. That is there. There is no doubt about that. I'm talking about in this world itself. In this world itself, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited is itself harmful in the world. The reason I'm saying is, because today we are living in a world where, by and large, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been set aside. They are either completely denied or they are set aside, and the world lives in a way where it deceives itself into believing that the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need not be applied and nothing will happen if we reject them, if we deny them. But as I always keep saying, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are immutable. These laws cannot be denied. They are like the laws of physics, whether they are in physics itself or anywhere else. You can't deny the law of gravity, whether you like it or not, it applies. You can't deny thermodynamics, you can't deny aerodynamics, you can't deny any of these laws. These are laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which apply. Whether you like it or not, that law applies. So also the laws that are relating to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram, they apply, and if you deny them and if you insist on doing those haram things, then you will suffer in this world without a doubt. Now, before I go into some of those laws and what the actual suffering is, and I'm going to give you statistics, because you can't deny statistics. An important point to remember is that in Islam, the basic principle of what Allah has made haram is that not only is that thing itself haram, what is haram, what is prohibited, is haram irrespective of quantity, and everything related to it is also haram. This is a very important thing to understand with respect to haram. Something which is haram irrespective of quantity, and anything related to that is also haram. For example, consumption of pork is haram. How much of consumption of pork? 1 teaspoon, 1 gram, 10 grams, 1 rasher of bacon, 1 slice of ham, or the whole pig, which is haram. Everything is haram. 1 atom of pork is also haram. The whole herd of pigs is also haram. And everything to do with pork is haram. Rearing, having a pig farm is haram. Storing pork is haram. Putting it into a cold storage is haram. Consuming it obviously is haram, but selling it is haram. Transporting it is haram. Making pigskin bags is haram. Right? You are not eating it, but you are making bags and belts and so on, and shoes of pigskin. This is haram. Selling them is haram. Advertising that is haram. Everything connected with that is haram. Not only eating it. So if somebody says, well, no, I'm not eating it, but I have this grocery store, and this is not a Muslim grocery store, it's a grocery store in a country which is, secular country or a non-Muslim country. Majority of my customers are, or all of my customers, I'm the only Muslim in this country. I'm giving an extreme example. Every other person is a non-Muslim. I am the only Muslim. I am not consuming it, but they eat pork. So it is one of the items. It's not a pork shop. It's a grocery store. One of the items is pork. So what is wrong? It is wrong. If you own that store, if you are in any way connected with running that store, then to sell pork is haram for you. Whether somebody else buys it, or whether they like to consume it, or whether they follow Islam or not follow Islam, that's not your problem. The job of the Muslim is not to spread haram, is not to facilitate the consumption or the actions of haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, the ayat which we all are aware of, he said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaitani fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, all kinds of intoxicants. Al-khamr relates, is not only alcohol, it is alcohol, but it's also anything which is intoxicating and anything which is addictive. All addictive and all intoxicating substances come under the definition of al-khamr, and this is the definition given to it by Rasulullah, by Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, and by many of the Sahaba, and this is the accepted definition of all the Mufassirin. So al-khamr is not only related to alcohol, it's related to all forms of addictive substances that exist and that may be invented as we go along. So Allah said, O you who believe, all kinds of intoxicants, gambling, again, blanket statement, gambling, whether it is horses, whether it is dogs, whether it is mice, whether it is bridge, whether it is three cards, whether it is poker, whether it's a roulette table, or Russian roulette with a revolver and, one empty chamber, right? So, whatever the form of gambling. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Ansab and Al-Azlam, which is fortune telling. It's fortune telling, seeking luck and decision, which includes, of course, in this country, Vastu, Feng Shui, tarot cards, Ouija boards, right? All that Falkholna and, the lines on your... Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How many we have? Huh? Astrology, all forms of fortune telling. And Azlam, Al-Ansab or Azlam, this refers to all forms of fortune telling, magic and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are rijsum min amali shaitan. Allah said, these are the worst of the deeds of the actions of shaitan. Abomination of the shaitan. So it's not only are these things shaitani, but even among the shaitani, if you were going to say some are less shaitani than others, these are the worst of the shaitani things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so stay far away from them. Fajtanibu. Stay far away. Allah is not saying don't do it. Allah is not saying don't cross this boundary. Allah is saying don't even go near it. Do not even go near that boundary. Stay far away from these things. Now you might say, well, you know, alcohol, what's so bad about it? I have only one drink, right? Or I have a Christmas drink or something. Or I am not drinking at all, but my friends have a party and this is a corporate requirement. I work for this large corporation and so this is, you know, a bonding party or something. It's in a pub. I'm not drinking. I'm only drinking lime juice. But why can't I go there? Rasulullah said, not only is it prohibited, he said, do not sit at a table where it is being served and do not even go into a room where it is being served. Right? See, this is the level of the prohibition. Now, you might say, well, you know, what's so bad about it? If I told you that there is an organization which kills 10,000 people every year. So there's this organization which kills 10,000 people every year. What would you say? You would say it's okay, 10,000 people. The whole world would immediately, absolutely ban the organization. They would say this is a terrorist organization. These people should be hunted down and they should be eliminated and so on and so on and so on. Yes? Alcohol-related deaths, now 2017 in the US, 90,000 people died. I'm talking only about deaths. I'm not talking about the families ruined because of alcohol. I'm not talking about all the marriages broken because of alcohol, all the children offered. I'm just talking about deaths. Alcohol-related deaths in the US, 90,000 people died 2017 due to alcohol. In India, 3.3 million. In India, 3.3 million. Why? Because alcohol companies pay tax. Alcohol companies fund governments. 3.3 million. Now, if you think, if somebody says in India, there is somebody killing 3.3 million Indians, what are they? Are they, how come we don't have cases filed against them for being anti-national or being, you know, traitors, and alcohol companies are traitors. Why do you think we don't have that? Take another one. Tobacco-related deaths. We're talking about the whole thing, cigarette and bidi and this and that. One person in India dies every 6 seconds. Every 6 seconds, tobacco-related deaths. Just to give you, I did some sums. One packet of Goldflake cigarettes costs 300 rupees today. So if you say that I smoke only one packet of cigarettes a day, basic arithmetic, one packet of cigarettes, Goldflake cigarettes, costs 300 rupees a day. Multiply by 365, multiply by 40 years. So if you start smoking at 20, and you are 60 years old, you'll be smoking 40 years. Guess how much that is? That is 4,043,80,000. 4,003,800,000. 43,80,000 rupees you have spent if you were smoking one cigarette packet a day, Goldflake, at today's prices, assuming that the price of that cigarette did not go up in the next 40 years. You would have spent 43,80,000, so 44 lakhs. Huh? That's one packet of cigarettes. That's one single packet of cigarettes. Now, Islam says, all of this is not possible. Islam says, all of this is haram. Now, I am going to send you, along with this Fajr reminder, the statistics also, so that you get an idea about what we are talking about. So we were talking about 3.3 million alcohol deaths. There's over a million cigarette deaths and so on and so forth, cigarette or BDs or whatever. The thing to understand and remember is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not prohibit things for His benefit. He prohibits them for our benefit. I gave you only two or three examples. This applies to every single prohibition of Islam. Now please understand that sometimes we feel that, you know, this is permissible or this is permitted in this country, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. The point is that Islam's laws are not dependent on people's whims and fancies. People like to do something today, so they make it halal. Tomorrow they don't like it, so they make it haram. Islam's principles are eternal. And they are based on actual harm and actual goodness. So therefore, if you are denying that principle, it's like jumping off a building and saying, I don't believe in gravity, you will die. Please understand two things. Number one, security is inversely proportional to functionality. Security is inversely proportional to freedom. If you sit in a car and you wear a seatbelt, it will affect your free movement in the car. But that will save your life if you are in an accident, because it stops you from smashing yourself against the windscreen and the steering. So also you have a password or you have some face recognition or something on your computer or your phone. Yes, it is a nuisance. Yes, you have to remember the password. But your data is safer than it would have been if you did not have that password. So security is inversely proportional to freedom. This is one principle. And the second principle is that denial is the first and most reliable sign of addiction. Denial is the first and most reliable sign of addiction. So if somebody is saying, no, I'm actually not addicted. Once in a while I smoke a cigarette. Once in a while I have a drink. That person is definitely addicted. Denial is the first sign of addiction. So whether it is alcohol, whether it is pornography, whether it is cigarettes and BDs and God knows what, tobacco or any other kind of addiction, denial is the first sign of addiction. So if you are indulging in something like this, and if you find that you are telling yourself or telling somebody else that no, actually I am not addicted, I can leave it any time, then this is an absolutely sure sign that you are addicted. I remind myself and you, let us respect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are for our benefit and not for the benefit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.